I want you to open your Bibles with us this evening in the book of Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we commence to read at verse number 1 of this passage of God's Word. Let's read a part of this passage of God's infallible truth. Genesis chapter 41. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. The 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then said the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream, and to each man according to his dream he did interpret. Came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeons, and he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, and he came in unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up food in the cities. The food of the fields which was round about every city laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And then in verse number 53, and the 7 years of plenteousness there was in the land of Egypt were ended. The 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine wrecked sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph, or to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we confess this evening that we have no help of thee. But we thank thee that our eyes are upon thee, and we thank thee for the sufficiency of thy grace and of thy power. And tonight, Lord, we just claim the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that as we open our mouths, that we might honor and glorify and magnify thy gracious and thy precious name. We thank thee for the truth that we learned this morning, O God, that when we own thee as our master, we thank thee, my God, shall supply all your need. And I pray tonight, Lord, that thou will just supply my need as I come to handle the word of life and truth. So to this end, our God, give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. For any tonight are not saved, O God, we pray that in grace and mercy bring them savingly, tenderly unto thyself, for we know that salvation alone belongs to thee. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was thinking about the service and praying that God would lead me and direct me, the Lord very clearly directed me to my attention to one of my favorite Bible personalities or characters in the Scriptures. It is the story of Joseph. And I know that it would be a blessing to our hearts if we were to go through and have a profitable study in the life of this man Joseph, or what a life it was. Romans chapter 8, 28 says this: "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." When you come to chapter 40 of the book of Genesis, and as you leave that chapter, the final verse says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." And as you look at that story of Joseph in that chapter, it leaves Joseph in prison. Joseph was a young man of great integrity. He was a man of great faith. And yet he was slandered against. And because of the slander against him, he was imprisoned. And yet we find that God was working out his plan in Joseph's life. It's hard to believe that in chapter 40 we find him in a prison. And in chapter 41, then we find him not only standing next to the king, but be made the prime minister, the next to the king in the land of Egypt. It says in chapter 40 that the butler forgot him. I was just looking at the earlier part of chapter 40, and it says here in verse 41, Joseph was saying to the butler, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." And yet instead of him being remembered, the Bible says that the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. It's hard to see how that all things are working together for good for Joseph. And yet, my friend, aware. It was God's way, but it was the best way, although he couldn't see it. Joseph, I believe that as he lay there in prison, he said, "Bring me out of this house." He didn't want to stay a day longer in the prison. He wanted the butler to remember to speak of him before Pharaoh. But he didn't do it. And yet whenever we think about it, God had great plans for Joseph. He was going to be elevated to a position that God had purposed for him. But for 12 long years, he had to suffer in silence, not knowing what the future held, not knowing what was going to lie around the next corner or what the next day of imprisonment would mean. And yet, friend, listen, God was working together for good. God had purposed great things in the life of this young man. God was preparing him for greatness. But where did God school him for that greatness? He schooled him in the prison. You see, God's schools are not like ours. God knew that to prepare Joseph, he would have to go to prison. He would have to endure stiff trials. Has God made a mistake? Has God lost the pattern in Joseph's life? The answer is no. All things working together for good to them that love the Lord. And there's someone in this meeting tonight, and there's something in your life that I don't know about. There's something in your life that's happening. You don't understand what God is doing in your life. Maybe you feel that the way that God is leading you, the way that you're having to go, you can't even see the hand of God in it. You can't see that this is worthwhile. And yet God's way is the best way. Because in that school of adversity, in that school of affliction, we find that God would advance his servant. And God would use that experience for his glory. And I say to you, child of God, before we move on tonight, let the Lord use whatever experience you're going through, let God use it for his glory. There are no mistakes with God's plan. What God is doing in your life is not a mistake. God is working out a perfect plan for you if you love the Lord. And may God give you the spirit of humility to bow in submission before God, who is your master and your Lord, and say, Lord, your way is the best. There are four simple things that I want you to notice in this passage of God's word. First of all, I want you to notice a great pain. Or rather, a great panic. And the great panic was concerning a dream. The Bible tells us that the king falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, he has a dream. And the dream, he dreams about cows. And then he dreams about corn. In the first dream, he dreamt about seven fat, flourishing cows. They emerge from the life-giving waters of the Nile. And as the king sees these cows in his dream, they were fat and they were flourishing, he looked upon them with approval. And then suddenly, out of the same river emerges seven bony, starved, ill-kept cows. He can hardly believe what he's seeing, because the seven lean, hungry cows, they just turn on the healthy cows and they devour them. And the king woke out of his sleep. I'm sure for a moment he thought about that, but he was tired, and so therefore he went back to sleep again. And this time he's not dreaming about cows, he's dreaming about corn. And he dreams about seven delightful, magnificent, golden ears of corn that are tossing proudly there in the wind, in the breeze, beneath the smiling sun. And then he notices seven blighted ears that had been blasted by the east wind. And they sprang up, and whenever they sprang up, they devoured the prize-winning ears, stalk and stem. And he woke out of his sleep. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that in the morning his spirit was troubled. He had a dream and he knew it was about something, but he couldn't understand what this dream was about. He was disturbed. He had a troubled mind, troubled spirit. You know, he was the most powerful man in all the world at that time. But he hadn't peace of mind. And is it not true, my friends, you could have many things. You can have great intellect and yet you can know nothing of peace of mind. And so he calls for the wise men. He calls for the magicians. He calls for the wise men of Egypt. He wants them to interpret this dream because he can't understand it. But you know, they too failed him, because all their wisdom meant absolutely nothing. They couldn't give the king peace of mind. And maybe you're looking in the world tonight for peace of mind, friend. The words of the hymn writer, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as they stooped to drink, they mocked me. They mocked me as a whale." And so we find the great panic. Secondly, we find the gracious providence. Because look at verse number 9. Then. You see, standing beside the king was the king's cupbearer. There was the butler. He was entrusted. He would bear that cup and drink of that cup, lest someone would put poison in the cup. And as the king was troubled and brought in the wise men, the butler was standing beside the king, and he heard the king, and he knew the king was troubled. And he heard the king relate his story, and he heard the wise men saying, "O king, we don't know the answer to it. We don't know what the interpretation is." And then, just at that moment, friend, then at that very specific moment, something happened in the mind of the butler. He remembered Joseph. You see, he remembered he too had a dream when he was in prison. And he told it to Joseph, and Joseph was the one that interpreted the dream. And just exactly as the dream was interpreted, so it was. And he remembers that Hebrew slave that he met in prison who helped him in his time of need. And he acknowledges his fault in forgetting Joseph. But friend, let me tell you this. The timing was perfect. The experience that Joseph had to go through in that prison, friend, made him a wiser, a more mature man. And if you and I are willing to bow down to God's providence and God's plan and God's purpose in our lives, friend, and use the experiences of life that God has purposed, I'll tell you this, they'll make you and me a wiser person. They'll make you and I a better person in our walk with God. You see, the butler forgot Joseph, but God hadn't. Joseph was never out of God's mind, friend. Yes, he had to endure affliction. Yes, he had to stay in the prison. But he was never out of the heart and the mind of God. And his suffering, I believe, under God, was preparing him for this moment where it says, Then spake the chief butler. Well, they got Joseph and they brought him before the king. And whenever they came before the king, notice what the king said. Verse number 15, Then Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret. And I have heard said of thee that thou canst interpret a dream to, or thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." No, this was Joseph's big moment. Yet, thank God, he went through the test well. This could have been Joseph's moment of pride, friend. Joseph could be uplifted in pride and saying, "Yes, I can interpret your dream." But notice what Joseph said in verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not in me, not me, There's nothing of me, king. Only God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Listen, Joseph didn't need to be tempted to exalt himself because God had already planned to do it. Don't try to run ahead of God, friend. Don't you try to do what God alone can do. But thank God, God in that school of the prison, God had made this young man a wise young man. Not me, king. God. But friend, notice not what happened now. Because in the providence of God, not only did Joseph interpret the dream, Joseph devised a plan. See, God gave him wisdom. And God was now ready to promote. If you look there in that passage of God's word, look at verse number 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this man? A man that in whom is the Spirit God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over mine house. And according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. I see a gracious providence. God working all together for good. Maybe you're here tonight and you think God's forgotten you. Maybe you've been praying and seems to be that God hasn't answered your prayer. We've been studying when I've been in the Bible classes, when our brother has been away, and looking at John the Baptist and Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they had prayed that God would give them a child. But they had none. And then one day, God sent the angel Gabriel. And God said through the angel, you know, God has heard your prayer. God heard your prayer. But Elizabeth now is well stricken in years. She's an old woman. Why didn't God answer the prayer when she was a young woman? You ever asked why? You know, God didn't say to Elizabeth and Zacharias why he waited until the old years. As I said this morning around the Lord's table, friend, you and I need to respect the silences of God, just the same as the statements of God. And when God is silent about a thing, don't you try to put the interpretation upon it. Just leave it with God. Just leave it with Him. There are things in my life I don't understand, but I've got to trust Him. For as for God, His way is perfect. There is a gracious providence here. But notice something else, thirdly. There is a guided preparation. Verses 46 to verse 49, it says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and he went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which is round about every city, laid he up in the same. You see, Joseph believed the interpretation of the dream. And what was it? God said to the king there would be 7 years of plenty, but God says there would be 7 years of famine. And you know, friend, let me tell you this. This is quite often what happens even in nations. Because we as a nation, and yes, across Europe and across the world, there were many nations like ours that were blessed with plenty. But you know what we did? Did we store up for the days whenever the recession would come? Did we use it wisely, the plenty that God, plenteousness that God had given? He believed the years of plenty. Yes, there were seven, but he knew that after them was going to be 7 years of famine. So what did he do? He had laid up for the years of famine. He made preparation. And friends, surely there's a spiritual lesson here. Because there's not one in this meeting tonight, no, but we all must needs die. That we are not here forever. There's coming a day when we have to face death. And there's coming a day when we'll have to face the judgment. And there's coming an hour and a moment, friend, we'll be ushered out into God's eternity. And the Spirit of God says through the prophet Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Yes, in the years of plenty. In the days of grace. In the days of opportunity, man needs to get ready. What an awful tragedy if Joseph had just wasted all the food in Egypt. Because notice the little statement that found in chapter 41, verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt. Next two words were ended. They came to an end. And friend, you might be filled with life and vitality and vigor and all these things, and you're living for the world and you're living for the flesh and you're living for self. Listen, fairest flowers soon decay. And your youth and beauty will pass away and you haven't long to stay. You need to be in time. 7 years of plentiness or plenteousness were ended. But thank God preparation was made. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you prepared for death if it was to come tonight? Your life can end in a moment, friend. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I think of that young boy, 14, in Carrickfergus, just crossing the road. She's only a child. But tonight, he has been laid in a coffin. His body has been placed in a grave. His family's left with a broken heart. Just a moment of time. Have you any preparation made? Thank God there was a guided preparation here. Joseph took control, and in the years of plenty, he made preparation. And then lastly, the grand provision, verses 54 to 57. 7 years of drought have come. The Nile fails, and with it, Egypt begins to die. You notice what it says in verse 55. It says, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, notice, all the land of Egypt famished. Verse 54, the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. Verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished. Look at verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. Verse 57, all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all lands. There was a worldwide need. I know we are facing difficulty across this United Kingdom, and people's worried about what's going to happen with the recession, what's going to happen in the financial markets. But friend, thank God we haven't starved. You look at some of the little children in different parts of the world tonight with their little swollen bodies, their little skull heads, just skulls. Little swollen bodies. And you throw more in the bin after one meal that they have eaten, maybe in a week or maybe a month. They're starving. Oh, I know we could tell who's, we can start pointing the finger to say who's to blame. Listen, friend, there are people just like you and me. Famine's an awful thing. Devastation. Tragedy. You hear the cry of them. And the Bible says all the land of Egypt was famished. The people cried. And was over all the earth, it says. All the face of the earth. 56. Verse 56. Then there's a worldwide need tonight because men and women all over the world are the same. All are sinners. And many do not realize their need. But thank God preparation has been made in Egypt. There's bread there. And it says, in the land of Egypt, they all came and they cried. Notice verse 53. They cried to Pharaoh for bread. But notice the answer. Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. See, Pharaoh hadn't the answer. Joseph had. And their people are starving in sin tonight. And they're thirsty for the water of life. And they're hungry for the bread of life. And they're going to the world. And they're going everywhere seeking. They're going to Pharaoh's. They're going to the world looking for the answer. Looking for satisfaction. Looking for something to satisfy their need. But listen to the answer of Pharaoh. Go to Joseph. You know, Joseph in Scripture, if you look at him carefully, he's one young man who is a picture of Christ. And maybe you're searching in the world tonight for satisfaction. Maybe you're searching in the world for peace of mind. Maybe you're searching in the world, friend, hungry and thirsty. Go to Jesus. That's the answer. I've tried the broken cistern, Lord. Go to Jesus. And notice what it says here. Verse 56. Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold on to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the land. There was only one that could supply the need. Go to Joseph. There's one great difference, of course, no matter what picture you find in the Scriptures. You know, Joseph was not Christ, and he's a picture of Christ, but he's not Christ, and he's not the sinless, perfect one. He's only a man. The Bible says, and in that time of need, it says that Joseph opened the storehouses and he sold unto the Egyptians. they paid the price. The Lord Jesus says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. For when Christ opens his storehouse, praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Go to Jesus tonight. He is the answer. Christ alone can meet the need of your heart. Christ alone can cleanse you from your sin. Christ alone can give you the gift of eternal life, and you shall never perish, and none will pluck you out of his hand. May God give you grace to go to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that Christ is the answer. We thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sin. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that there's not a man, a woman, a boy, a girl in the service tonight. And if they're thirsting and hungering after the things that are eternal, they'll only find them in Jesus. The church cannot save them. The sacrament cannot save them, and their works cannot save them, but praise God, Jesus can save them. For he saves to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I simply say tonight, the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and are heavy laden." And he says, "I'll give you rest." And if you by faith come as a sinner to Christ, thank God, Jesus will save you. Your life will be changed. Thank God, you'll drink of the new wine of heaven. You'll drink of the water of life freely. And the water of life will be as a well that springs up within you. If you're hungry, Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life, and the Spirit and the bride says, come." Come to Christ. We're here to help you tonight. And if there's a man or a woman or a young person in service and you say, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know pardon and peace of mind. I'm just like that old king. Troubled of mind, troubled of spirit. And I don't know the answer." Praise God, friend. God's word has the answer. Christ is the answer to your every need. I'll be going to the minister's room just behind the pulpit here. Slip through the door at the front, slip around the side of the building and through the side door. But in God's name, don't leave without Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come. May God give you grace to come to him tonight. Come and welcome to Jesus. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon all of our hearts. Give deciding grace. Don't let one leave this meeting without Christ. Just give them grace to come. Just as our heads are bowed, their eyes are closed, and God's people are praying, our sister is going to play one little verse of that hymn, "Just As I Am, Oh, Lamb of God, I come. And if there's one in this meeting tonight and you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved, or you're a backslider, you'd love to get back to the Lord, lead me to Christ. Friend, as our sister plays that little verse, just as I am, would you indicate that desire? Slip the hand above your head so that I can see it, every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there one tonight in the service, young person, older person? Preacher, lead me to Christ. I'm going to Jesus. I let him open the storehouse of his blessing. I'll take the gift that only Christ can give, eternal life. O Lamb of God, I come. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon our hearts. In Jesus' precious name.